is May 15th, 1999. You want to give us your name, please?
Joe Graves.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your background, your family, education, things like that.
Well, I was born in Lexington in 1930, the year of the Great Drought in Kentucky. Went to local school, University High School. My father was in the clothing business at Graves Cox. Graduated from high school, went away to 1 year to William and Mary as a freshman. Came back and graduated from Transylvania. Took some graduate courses at UK and went into the family business and worked there until it was sold in 1969. Also became a city commissioner in 1967 and then a member of the House of Representatives in Kentucky in 71 and the state Senate in 73. And now I'm a businessman. I helped start two banks in Lexington. Hart and I have three daughters, all of whom are grown, and we both love coming to the Hyman Settlement School at least once a year.
How did you get involved with the Hyman Settlement School?
Well, Raymond McLean, who was one of the former directors, knew me. His father had been president of Transylvania College, and my father was on that board and a friend of Raymond McLean Sr. So when Raymond was a director of the school, he asked me to serve on the board of directors.
And when was that?
Well, that's a good question, Jess. I think it was probably in the 60s. I know it was in the 60s.
So you're going on for?
In fact, I received a recognition a couple of years ago for having served on the board for 25 years. So.
Okay. And you're what we call an old-timer.
That's right, old-timer, right.
Well, maybe what we could do just to start out is that you could kind of make observations about the 25-year, the long view, and then we'll maybe talk about some of the more individual things.
Right.
What has your experience been like?
Well, I think the experience that has been most encouraging for me, and even to the point of being an exhilarating experience, is be part of a nonprofit organization like this that has progressed so well, particularly under the leadership of Mike Mullins. It's had phenomenal success in terms of really serving people in this region. And it's, I think I'm on the board, I have been on the board of over 8 nonprofits, and all of which I think are important nonprofit organizations. But I know of no nonprofit that I've had experience with that does more for its, gets more bang for its buck, that does more with its resources than the Hyman Settlement School in terms of its service to its constituents and the people it aims to serve.
And it was interesting when you said the progression that you've seen. What would you consider to be the most important, you say, new things that have been taken on or expanded or things like that while you've been on the board?
Well, I think the school for dyslexic children has been one of the most meaningful experiences. My wife, our oldest daughter volunteered to serve as one of the faculty in one of the early summer schools for dyslexic students, and she was unable to complete that commitment, so my wife stepped in and came up and spent the summer as a volunteer teacher, and she came back with glowing reports of how that personal sort of one-on-one relationship with a student meant so much to the student in terms of improving the student's ability to read and write and understand. So I think the program for dyslexic students has just been outstanding.
Maybe you could tell me a little bit about, since we're really interested also in the how the board operates in relationship to the director and the programs. Mm-hmm. With that specific program, how was the program started and implemented in terms of the board's activities and so forth?
Well, to the best of my recollection, Mike brought the concept to the board of directors, and I believe it's fair to say that Lois Weinberg was involved at the very early stages with Mike. She has, I believe she and Bill have four children, and I believe three of them are dyslexic. So she had an interest in dyslexia. And my recollection is that she and Mike developed the interest in the Hyman Settlement School becoming involved in that program. And then Mike brought it to the board as our executive director. And Lois, I'm sure, was supportive. So that's the way, to my recollection, it started.
Were they able to fund that out of the settlement school resources, or did they have to go out to get more money, or?
Well, I think the answer probably is a combination. Some of the money was provided by the school. A fraction of it was probably provided by the parents who could afford to pay. And then Mike, who is a marvelous fundraiser, also raised some money, especially for the school.
Aside from the dyslexic program, are there other things particularly you would point to in the last quarter century that you think have really been moving the settlement school in, you know, in the proper direction?
Well, the Hammond Settlement School has encouraged the local, I guess it's GED program. I can remember a very poignant ceremony here when Governor and Mrs. Wallace Wilkinson flew up here in a helicopter, especially for the graduation of some GED students. And I remember being in the audience when Martha Wilkinson, the governor's wife, gave the main address at that graduation, and then seeing those students come up one by one to receive their certificate, and how proud their families were of them, and they were themselves for accomplishing these goals. And it's just another indication of how this small school in Knott County has touched the lives of many different people.
Can you tell me about the roles or offices that you've held on the board?
Well, for a while I served as chairman, which was an honor and a responsibility. Now I'm serving as treasurer, and during my term as treasurer, we have changed our investment approach. We now have two different investment advisors. We divide up the foundation's money between these two advisors, and they use a slightly different approach, but it helps us add talent to our management pool of investment advising. So we've been able to increase the endowment substantially, not only through good management, but also because we've had people make donations, which we've also been able to invest carefully. So I feel like that we have a very strong financial situation. Our funds are well managed, our investment firms are well managed, but also we have a good accounting system so that we can track operating expenses, income, and do what a board is supposed to do, and that is provide oversight that the management is very professional.
And were you the one who basically altered what had been there before into this system?
Well, I recommended that we do that. I'm on several other boards, like the Lexington Cemetery has done this, Transylvania College. I was on that executive committee for many years. We did it. Christ Church, I'm on the investment committee for our church, and we have more than one investment advisor and manager. So it's something that more and more nonprofit boards are doing, so I did recommend it to the Hyman Settlement School.
I would appreciate knowing what the system was before it was changed, when you first came on,
right.
how the money and how the endowment was handled.
Well, the Hyman Settlement School has had a long-term relationship with what was called Citizens Fidelity Bank in Louisville, and it was a very satisfactory relationship. That bank, the trust department of that bank, managed these funds. Then that bank was later merged, and we felt that they were doing a fine job, and in fact they still are one of our investment advisors, but we felt it was good to have maybe another investment advisor. Now we have two, a PNC Bank, which is a sort of a sequel to Citizens Fidelity, is one of our managers. We also have a firm called Scudder Stevens and Clark, which is a nationally known firm. So those two firms both manage our accounts, and we get reports like one I just saw recently that compares the operation of these two separate funds that are managed separately. So we're able to, competition, you know, is always stimulating, so these two firms are feel some competitive challenge to each do a good job of managing these monies.
And they both have mixed sources. Yeah. You don't have bonds in one.
No, that's right. They're well diversified, and of course the challenge now at this particular time in May of 1999 is that many of us feel the market is exceptionally high in value, and we wonder what to do in terms of hedging against either a recession or so those are some of the challenges that you think about when you're on a board of directors or on the executive committee.
Mm-hmm. Tell me also a little about, first of all, because you've been the chair and you mentioned that there are obviously added responsibilities, so I think it would be very helpful to know just how the chair functions in terms both of the board and the executive director.
I agree with a man named W.T. Young, who has been a tremendous benefactor of the University of Kentucky and who's chairman of the board of Transylvania University. He said that basically he feels the primary function of a board of directors is to hire and fire the president or the staff of the president of the university or a corporation. So I think one of our primary responsibility as a board of directors is to be certain that we have an excellent executive director. And in that case, in that particular situation, we are blessed because we have, I think, one of the finest executive directors anyone could have. So since that responsibility is being fulfilled, I think one of our other main responsibilities is to be certain that the executive director and the staff have the resources to do the job, to fulfill the mission of the Hyman Settlement School. And so that's why we try to be very careful in terms of the investment of funds that are given to us, and why we try to help Mike Mullins when we have fundraising drives and try to be supportive. And he's an exceptional fundraiser, so we're doubly blessed because he can.
Have you had any recent fundraising drives, or are you planning any drives?
Yes, a drive is being planned, and I would urge you to talk to Mike about that. I'm not involved in the group that's working on that, but they are planning a very substantial drive, and I believe it's to obtain more money to support the dyslexia program.
Again, if I can go back for just 1 minute, what would you say are the extra responsibilities of being the chair of the board?
Well, I think the chair of the board is the person in most organizations like this who has the most interaction with the executive director. If Mike Mullins, for example, is executive director, wants to find out whether the board would tend to be open for a change that he wants to recommend, it would be natural for him to contact the chairman and get the chairman's view. And the chairman, in turn, may wish to call a meeting of the executive committee, which is a small group of the board, or the chairman or chairperson may feel that he or she is sufficiently in touch with all the board members to be able to say, yes, I think the board would really be excited about that, or maybe we better check, maybe we better go slow on that. And so the chairman is literally a person who coordinates the work of the board of directors. And if a vacancy occurs, the chairman may suggest a replacement. It's a very interesting position.
Yes, I would think too that you're obviously very consistently involved in policy matters.
Yes, well, being the board member who's most in touch with the executive director, and with an executive director like Mike, who is good about keeping people informed, you're closer to the actual operation perhaps than any other board member.
Is there anything different or unusual in the way that the Hyman Settlement School is administered from other boards or organizations that you've been with?
Well, I think all of them are different. Transylvania University, I was on that executive committee for about 25 years, and obviously a university has a different function than a small school like this. I'm on the board of the Lexington Cemetery, which has an entirely different function. So I think the organization kind of fits the function of the work that's going forward. And I've been lucky to serve, fortunate to serve with some fine leaders like Charlie Shearer at Transylvania. We have an excellent director of the Lexington Cemetery. But as I mentioned, I really feel like I've had enough experience to be able to say that, to recognize an exceptional leader when I am associated with one. And Mike is truly just the right person for this job. We were just blessed when we selected him.
Well, tell me a little bit about how he came to be selected, if you can recall that. You were on the board at the time.
Yes. Well, after Raymond McLean resigned, our next executive director, as I recall, was Lionel Duff, who served for, three or four years. Then when he resigned, we had a search for a replacement. And I can remember a meeting at Transylvania when the board met to interview two candidates. And Mike was one of those candidates, and I didn't know either candidate. So it was difficult for me to determine who was best, but I think the good Lord was looking over our shoulder because we selected Mike, and it's been a great choice.
I think he was over at Alice Lloyd at the time.
I think he was, but it would be good to check on that.
Now, tell me, what are the qualities about him that you find, make such an exceptional executive director?
Well, he has great integrity. He is straightforward about telling you how he feels about things. He's not a person who manipulates or who is devious. I think he has a great feel for this part of Kentucky. And for its needs and for its aspirations of its people. I think he's a very kind person. He genuinely cares about the people, the students and adults who are served by the Hyman Settlement School. He has tremendous energy. He has the good fortune to be married to Frida, who is a tremendous person herself. He's devoted to his family and they're devoted to him. So he has that additional strength of having great family support. He's active in his church. He's politically shrewd, and I guess in all Kentucky communities, politics is important and certainly is in Eastern Kentucky. And Mike knows how to operate in a political atmosphere in Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky and Knott County. And he really motivates you. He'll call you up and start talking about some program he wants to do, and before you know it, you're just swept along and want to participate. And you never regret it either. It's not as if he's talking you into something that's not sound. I mean, the things that he's recommended that we've done have worked out to be very appropriate for our mission.
Yes, I can certainly attest to that, because one of the times when I was coming to do work, he showed me the preliminary report on the latest project,
yes,
the development project, and it was just incredible to read that.
Yes.
And see what was going to happen to the,
yes,
area and the role,
right,
that was going to be played in that. Well, you've known three directors,
yes,
since you've been,
right,
there. Can you tell me a little bit about the other two and the kind of work they were doing, maybe even a contrast in terms of what were the most important focuses at the various,
right,
times?
Raymond McLean has a fine mind. He, as you know, he is a musician. His family is musical. I can remember his mother was quite musical, and the McLean Family Band was a band that Raymond created that traveled nationally and was nationally recognized. I felt that when he was executive director that he is, I would say, a more academic type director than many directors. And so I think in some ways maybe this is not the type of work that maybe draws on his strongest and best qualities. Lionel Duff was always somewhat of an enigma to me. He was far more reserved than either Raymond or Mike, so it was really difficult for me to communicate with him and to understand what he wanted to accomplish. And
were you the chair at that?
You know, I'm not sure whether I was or not. I think I was chair after Mike came, but maybe the records could be checked about that. But Lionel, I think, had kind of a difficult trip up here. I think his tenure was probably not too satisfactory for him or for the school. But and Mike is, the contrast between Mike and his predecessor, Lionel, is just the difference between night and day. So I think we have now the person who's just right.
I realize, of course, that you must have also known Miss Watts.
Yes.
So maybe you were always looking for new insights into Miss Watts. Maybe you would tell us a little bit about your relationship and your impressions of her.
I found her very inspiring. I think we've all known people in our lives who are so utterly unselfish and so dedicated to the betterment of others that it's an inspiration. And I found her very inspiring. And when she came to our board meetings, which she was very good about attending, it just lifted the whole level of not only discourse, but the whole level of thinking, because just having her in our presence was stimulating. And then as she got older, as we all got older, it was even more impressive, because she just kept coming in. Her interest in the school and its mission never flagged or became less intense as she got older. So that, I think that was a tribute to the school and certainly a tribute to her. And I think Mike, again, would take the time to go down to her retirement home in Tennessee, pick her up, bring her to these meetings, and then be sure that she was taken home again. So he was conscious of the value of the linkage with the past that she represented, and also truly respected her and felt affectionate toward her and wanted to keep her involved. And I think it's another indication of the quality of his character, that he realized the importance of the past and the importance of past contributions.
Yes, I know she continued to attend the board meetings for a very long time.
Yes,
after,
right,
she retired herself.
Right.
Let me ask you about this latest project which the Hyman Settlement School is involved in, and maybe you could speak about it a little, how it came about and what our role is in it,
mm-hmm,
and what you think about,
mm-hmm,
this project, the Community Redevelopment Initiative.
I think it's an amazing project. I think the governor and whoever suggested the project deserves a lot of credit. As you know, rather than taking public funds and scattering them through a number of communities that are in need of funds, this program concentrates the funds among a few towns that have made proposals that have exceptional merit in terms of renovation and revitalization of the communities. The Hyman Settlement School, I think, was one of three finalists in the selection process and was one of two communities that were selected. Maybe there were three that were selected. But Mike Mullins and Bill Weinberg and a few other people in the Knott County community developed this proposal. It's exceptionally innovative and well thought out. It's going to lead to the revitalization, I believe, of the community of Hyman and of Knott County. The Hyman Settlement School plays an important role because our land, our campus, is right in the middle of it. I think we're going to be able to make a we're going to be able to make a contribution of property that will help provide space for some of the facilities that are going to be built, like the branch of the Hazard Community College and the new library. And I think it's going to be good for our campus to have this revitalization going along in the community. So it's Mike Mullins again is a essential participant in the leadership that put the proposal together and then won the proposal and now has the serious responsibility of implementing it. So I think it's going to be great.
It certainly seemed, in fact, I thought that we might even be seeing the beginnings of it when we came right now. I don't know if we walk around the campus, we may see some of the things that are already starting. I don't know what Cassie asked you when she interviewed you, but I thought maybe she asked you some interesting questions or you were able to give her some interesting information that I might miss. So I wondered if there were things that had been in the first interview that you might want to make sure get into this one as well.
I can't think of any questions that she asked me that you haven't asked me.
Always looking for stories, you know, interesting things that have happened.
Right, right. Well, I think something that's been has really enriched the Hyman Settlement School are the for instance the life and career of the authors who have been associated with the school. The River of Earth is a marvelous book that has touched the lives of many people. The Writers' Workshop that has operated here for many years has become a very important institution in Kentucky, as well as for Knott County. So Mike has not only touched Mike and the Hyman Settlement School have not only touched the lives of many people in Knott County and in this region, but he's brought people to this region from far away who have been touched by this region, and so it's he's brought people here to learn and to contribute whose lives have been touched from as far away as Canada and other countries and other parts of the United States. So the Hyman Settlement School has reached well beyond this region in terms of its influence, and is you can comment on this, but I think it's touched the lives of so many Americans and also visitors to America that it's nice to think that it's been that kind of catalyst.
Have you ever attended Folk Week or any part of the workshop, the Writers' Workshop?
I have not. I've wanted to. I've often wished I could be just an observer, and I've never wanted to take the place of a writer who. Because I think there's a waiting list for many of those programs, but it would be fun just to observe the process. I'm sure I would learn a lot and be truly stimulated by what I learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think the Folk Week must be something that almost anyone would find something that they would enjoy.
Yes.
Well, anything else that you would like to add? Let me ask this one question. Is there anything that you would change? Anything that you wish we could do differently or that you think should have been done differently here?
Well, I really believe in the quest for excellence. And if you believe in that quest, you know that everything can be improved. Not that we try to be perfect, but we can always try to be better or try to improve our performance. I particularly had been more of a help to the school in terms of raising money, because I think there's just no question that if we had more financial resources, we could do a better job of improving the lives of people we serve. And I feel that that would be one thing that I wish I were better skilled at raising money, because I think that with several million more dollars, we could really multiply that money in terms of its the way it touches the lives of people we serve. So I think that's the only improvement I can think of.
Maybe since you've been the treasurer, maybe you could tell me a little bit about where most of the donations come from these days, because one of the things I found in the records, of course, was the extreme importance of bequests
mm-hmm.
to the school,
mm-hmm.
and that the school ran on those bequests.
Right. Well, here again, one of the reasons that Mike Mullins is such a great director is that he spends a lot of his time, as he should, raising money and being in touch with organizations like the DAR and the Steele Reese Foundation and the various other foundations that contribute money to these types of organizations. And over the years, he's established a relationship, a trust with all of these organizations. So they believe in him, they believe in what he's doing, they believe in the mission of the school. So that's been a tremendous help. So I would say most of our money comes from large gifts or grants. And then Mike writes...
Mostly from foundations?
I would think so. Now check this out with Mike, mm-hmm. but I would think so. He does send out a Christmas appeal letter, which is always masterfully written. And that encourages donations from many people. And then, of course, these people who develop affection and respect for the school, many of them remember the school when they write their wills, so we've received some very nice bequests. So those are all important work. But Mike just is kind of a one-man development team in terms of raising money.
You said you didn't know a whole lot about whatever the next big campaign is going to be, but do you know enough to say whether it's going to spread out beyond the organization, the foundations, which the settlement school has gone to before, into a larger body of either people or groups?
The person to talk to about that, Jess, would be Glenn Leverage, mm-hmm. Who is a board member. He's identified closely with Bank One in Lexington, and he and Lois Weinberg and a small group are working on that. But they'll go to wherever the money is to get the resources that they're searching for.
Well, we're almost to the centennial, and you've been around for at least one quarter of the time
right.
at the Hyman Settlement School. Tell me what you see as the future for the Hyman Settlement School in the next century.
Well, that's a provocative question, and it really requires a lot more time to think about that than answer. I think what I would suggest is that maybe what we need to do is maybe get the board of directors together with some other people who care about this school and have a special session that people could prepare for in terms of reading and thinking. And maybe we should discuss that question. What do we want to be when we grow up in the next millennium? And I think that would be a valuable exercise, and I'd love to participate. But my thoughts are I would much rather participate in a broadly based discussion about that subject than hazard an answer now, because I don't feel I've thought enough about it to, I'm so concentrated on the future. But I would say that our mission has evolved. You know, it evolves from year to year as we perceive the needs that the school could address. So I think if we continue to be open-minded and flexible, and if we continue to have great leadership, we'll be true to the founders who worked so hard to create the school.
Have you any last thoughts you'd like to add before we conclude the...
I guess my final thoughts or last thoughts in this interview would be that I really feel tremendously grateful for the opportunity to serve with the other people who love the Hyman Settlement School. I remember when I was first asked to serve, I probably wasn't even sure where Hyman was and wasn't sure, you know, what I could do to contribute or even if I wanted to contribute, but it certainly has been a fantastic experience. And I think like many experiences in life, you never know what to anticipate when they start, but when you look back on them, you're sure glad you participated, and I'm very grateful.
Well, thank you very much. We'll conclude. This interview was conducted by Jess Stoddard.